The Modern Master Series, Highlights from the Solomon R. Guggenheim Museum, is currently underway at the El Paso Museum of Art. Today we talk to Dr. Michael Tomor, Director of the El Paso Museum of Art, in more detail about the series and about the current masters that are on display in El Paso, Paul Cézanne and Pablo Picasso. Hi, Dr. Tomor. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Hi, thank you for having me back.
Before we dive into our specific masters that are coming in, will you tell us how the relationship came about with the Guggenheim Museum and Foundation?
Sure. One of the things that we're very fortunate to have across our country is collegiality amongst professionals in the field. And Richard Armstrong, the current director of the Guggenheim Museum, and I knew each other when I was overseeing an art museum in southwestern Pennsylvania, and he was the curator and then the director at the Carnegie Museum of Art. So we have a history of working together and having an understanding that some of the smaller museums that don't have the broader collections need to really work with the larger institutions. And so I called him and I said, Richard, this is what we want to do here in El Paso. The El Pasoans that live here that don't travel have never had an opportunity to see an original work of art by Picasso. We don't have them in private collections, and our museum had never shown them. We don't have one in our permanent collection. So that led to the conversation about trying to bring works of art to El Paso that would give some exposure to modern art movements that may be less well known.
And how did the idea for a series come about? I mean, if you called them, was this something you'd been working on?
Or? Well, throughout the world right now, primarily in Western Europe, some parts of Eastern Europe and the United States, we've been borrowing individual masterpieces to bring to our communities rather than what we might otherwise consider seconds or thirds. Like, these are really important works by these artists, but a lot of these museums don't always let them go along with other pieces. So to have the individual masterpiece is an opportunity to bring really a masterpiece from a major collection into the community. But we also know that having a series of these masterpieces builds momentum and excitement in a community. So we certainly in El Paso are not the first ones to do this. For example, the Meadows Museum at SMU launched a 3-year partnership with the Prado, where they've been bringing individual masterpieces by Ribera and El Greco Velázquez to Dallas. So it's not an unusual. It's just what's unusual is El Paso had never done it, and this is the first time the Guggenheim Museum has ever launched a masterpiece series with anyone. So we feel very fortunate that we're the first, and they're excited because they know that after talking with them that our community doesn't get to New York often, and if they do, it's not necessarily a museum-going community.
So, well, it's definitely quite the coup for El Paso. Yeah. Now, we're starting the series with Cézanne and Picasso, but who else is a part of the series?
Well, that's really exciting. This one particular modern series, The Birth of Cubism. But the next is a masterpiece by Kandinsky from 1911 and a colleague of his that worked with him in a small group in Germany named Franz Marc. So we're going to have a conversation about Der Blaue Reiter. It was a loosely formed group of artists in Germany in the 1910s, and a discussion on Expressionism. This summer, we're going to move the series to the School of Paris and have a conversation about Orphism, which really deals with poetry and music and how it overlaps with the visual arts. And the two artists in that group were Robert Delaunay and Albert Glazes, two very important artists working in Paris at the same time that Kandinsky and Marc are working in Germany. Then we have a masterpiece by Marc Chagall, a life-size work of his called The Green Violinist.
I can't wait to see that, by the way.
That's a single masterpiece. And then that's followed by two great works from late 1920s by Kandinsky when he was one of the first faculty members at the Bauhaus in Germany right before World War II. And we close with a massive still life by Pablo Picasso, a late synthetic cubist piece from about 1934.
Now, when you asked for these pieces, did you say, I specifically want these? Or did they say, you know what, here's what you get?
No, wouldn't that be great if we were like in a candy shop? No, what we did was we outlined the modern masters movements that we really wanted to have a conversation about. We really wanted to keep this European because that was the birth of abstraction and new movements in art in the United States prior to World War II. And we kept it pretty much in Germany and France. So who were the players is what we talked about, and who hadn't we seen in El Paso?
So the current exhibit is titled Paul Cézanne and Pablo Picasso, The Birth of Cubism. Mm-hmm. And both have been described as crucial figures in that movement. Can you tell us more about Cubism and then the particular pieces that we'll see?
Sure. Well, the Cézanne is really interesting because it's a late work in his career from 1886, 87. And this is when he's having his first discussions with himself about multiple perspectives of individual objects. The goal was to bring mass and depth to something that might otherwise be illustrated as flat or two-dimensional. So in this still life, we see really a mature way in which Cezanne takes a look at multiple perspectives from beneath, above, from the sides, at different angles of one still life. That really changed the nature of art in Europe at the time. And artists like Pablo Picasso, who was really an academic painter, painted very representationally, was influenced greatly by this. And so the piece we have by Picasso is an early cubist piece, what we call an analytical cubist piece, where he takes these multiple perspectives, breaks them up into planes, and then sits them side by side in a very flat, kind of two-dimensional way. And this was Picasso's way of saying, you can't really get a whole picture of something that you're illustrating without seeing it from all angles. It would be like me judging you just on looking at your face rather than everything about who you are and how you're dressed. So this really changed, and artists like Matisse and Picasso and their colleagues would say Cezanne really changed the nature of art for everyone. He's the father of us all. So you can see this in this very contemplative, quiet exhibition that's just packed with two very powerful masterpieces.
How long will these be up, and how can people come see them?
Sure. Well, we have been so fortunate to have sponsorships for this exhibition that we've been able to open this to the public for free. And there's no admission to the museum in order to see this. So they will be up in segments of 3 months at a time. So this exhibit opened in early October, and it's going to close in early February. And then the next exhibit will open on February 11th with Kandinsky and Mark on Expressionism and Der Blaurider.
And I know you all do a lot of outreach and programs mm-hmm. around the pieces. Mm-hmm. Do you have any events, or what kind of events do you have coming up around the pieces?
We're bringing in a guest speaker who's a specialist on Cezanne named Richard Schriff, and he's coming in on January 8th. Again, that program is free. All our education programs are free, and we would invite you to attend. And then on January 24th, Eden Enterprises, which is a local group in town, they're going to be doing a staged reading of Martin's play Picasso at La Pine Agile in the auditorium. And we invite everyone to come for that as well. So that's kind of the tail end of this exhibition programming. And then we launch an entire new series of programs that come along with Kandinsky and Mark and Der Blaurider.
When does the next series come through, and what should we plan for?
That one is going to be opening, I believe it's on February 11th as a members opening, open to the public on February 12th. And that will run all the way through late May, early June. And we have a whole series of programs. We're bringing in one of the associate curators from the Guggenheim to have a conversation about how the Guggenheim collected and why they collected in certain ways, starting with Peggy Guggenheim's early purchases of some of these works, really, for her Venice home, and then which was ultimately turned over to the foundation to open a museum. We'll be having somebody come in and also speak about Kandinsky and Expressionism and Der Blaurider. And that will happen in April. So there will be two programs associated with that. And we just received a National Endowment for the Arts grant for this series. And I'm excited to share that we'll be bringing in the El Paso Opera to do a unique performance of an opera theater performance that was co-written by Kandinsky in 1911 called The Yellow Sound. And at this time, with Expressionism and Der Blaurider, a lot of artists were having these conversations that of synesthesia, the crossover of the senses, so that when you hear music, it might connote a certain color in your mind, or when you see a color, you might start humming a tune and not know why. So The Yellow Sound is an opera play that will be performed by the El Paso Opera. I believe it's going to be on May 20th. We're just finalizing that. Then we're doing Stravinsky's Rite of Spring in conjunction with the School of Paris and Orphism, because Robert Delaunay was very good friends with Stravinsky, and so was Albert Glazes. And it inspired him to write about the beautiful merging of colors during the seasons, and that inspired Stravinsky to write certain things about springtime. So it's a wonderful symphony we're bringing in.
Well, tell us.
That will be in October.
Tell us once again, when can people, or how long can people catch the current part of the series of Cezanne and Picasso?
That exhibit closes on February 6th.
So there's still, you've got a good month to get there.
Exactly. Yeah, come over the holiday, bring your family and friends, because I don't think these things are going to be, I know they're not going anywhere else. We're the only partnership on this with the Guggenheim. I think the Cezanne goes back to New York and the Picasso goes back to Guggenheim in Bilbao, Spain. So these pieces are major permanent collection pieces that are on view that they don't lend often.
Well, thank you so much for calling up. You just called him up and asked him for this series. We appreciate that greatly.
Thanks. Well, you know what? We all want to work together, and it's important that we recognize that our collections are housed in our locations, but they belong to world culture.
Very cool. Well, my guest today has been Dr. Michael Tomor, director of the El Paso Museum of Art. And we've been talking about the collaboration between the El Paso Museum of Art and the Solomon R. Guggenheim Museum. This partnership will bring about iconic European works by modern masters to El Paso, starting with Cezanne and Picasso. Be sure to stop by the El Paso Museum of Art to see these icons of art in person.